Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week, celebrated the best news of all, that our Lord God in Christ, for our sakes, has conquered death, so that we may live forever and be raised and have the promise of the resurrection for ourselves as well. As it's written in the hymns, death is conquered, we are free, Christ has won the victory. And we celebrated that last week, the best news of all. And also that God has given us a sure ground for our faith. He didn't just conquer death. He also promised this years ahead of time, thus laying up for ourselves a very firm foundation for us to believe. Because he told us ahead of time, according to God's plan, 750 years beforehand, Micah told us he'd be born in Bethlehem. Daniel, 500 and more years before Christ came, told us when he'd be born, in the Roman Empire. Isaiah, 750 years beforehand, told us where he'd minister, what he would do, that he'd be crucified, risen from the dead, bring forgiveness and salvation for us. Zechariah, the prophet, told us he'd enter Jerusalem on a donkey, be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, etc., and on, which shows me one thing especially, that Jesus' life was not like a leaf drifting down from a tree, being blown hither and thither by the wind. It was a planned out life that God had orchestrated, designed, and mapped out way beforehand, given to us in the Scriptures, and fulfilled by Christ in time. And that's why Peter can say something like this in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up," watch this, "according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up." Watch that. "According to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God." So God had a plan for Jesus' life, to be sure. I want to ask this question, though, today. Does God have a plan for your life, too? You think he has a life that he wants you to live, that is in his mind, that he has had up here as a plan from days of old, something for you to live, a great dream in his heart, a plan for how he will have you live, and great things for you to do. Because in our world today, we tend to think that it's up to us. You know, we are the rugged frontiersmen, autonomous man of the hour to go out into the wilderness of this world and carve out a life for himself on the frontier. You know, it's the idea that your plans, that's your life. You plan your life. You are the leader of it. And we will talk about how God wants you to plan in your life and plan your life, but all about his plan being superimposed over it and accomplished. That's what we're about as Christians, right? Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? "Not my will, but thine be done." In other words, not my plan, Lord, but your plan be done. But we have to live in this culture and separate ourselves from this idea that you are like Mr. He-Man, going to go out there and carve out your survival in the survival of the fittest world and etch out your life on this frontier. Is it all up to you? Is that the way it works? Is it you plan your work and you work your plan and that's what life is about? Or is it something greater than that? Other people who maybe are not as strong-willed think life is just throwing them down the stream like a waterlogged leaf, bumping into a log here, a rock there, the whims of the current carrying you here and there. Is that the way life is? Well, does God have a plan for your life? From this day to the day of your death, does he have great things in store that he wants you to walk in, a plan that you may live out? Well, that's what we're talking about today. And my answer at the very beginning is this. Yes, he does. Absolutely, God has a plan for your life. And let's see if I can start out today by proving that to you from the Scriptures. Let's see what God says about it. Start out in Ephesians chapter 1. See if you can hear a plan in here, my friends. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." So would you say God has a plan for your life? Apparently, from the foundation of the world, before he even made this old world, he had you in mind. He chose you, Paul says, even before he made the earth. He knew your name. And his plan, according to the fullness of time, was to save you in Christ, that you might be adopted as his sons, as his daughters. That's exactly what it says, right? According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, he has chosen you and saved you. So, God have a plan? Amen. Yes, absolutely does. Well, let's take a look a little more specifically. Okay, yeah. We're saved. God had a plan to save us. But what about more specifically? Does he have a special plan for your life? Raise up your thumb for a second. Give me a high five type of thing there. You see your thumb? That has a special fingerprint on it. Now, if you go get in trouble, and you go to the police court, or down, take you downtown, as they say, you got to put your fingerprint on there, and they map it out. Why? Because that fingerprint is unique to you. You and you alone have your fingerprint. And God made each one of you unique. As the saying goes, you're unique, just like everybody else. But you are uniquely designed by God. Special. God has a special design for each one of you. He's got a plan for your lives. That's a wonderful news. And let's see if that's true. Galatians chapter 1, which we read a few moments ago. Dale did very nicely. Paul says, "For you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." Verse 15. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles," etc., etc., etc. What do you note from this verse, these verses? God not only chose you from the foundation of the world, he set you apart before you were born and for something special. He set Paul apart to be the preacher to the Gentiles. God has also set you apart for something special. Remember what it says in Jeremiah? Or is this just Paul? In Jeremiah it says, "Before you were born, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations." Or you could take Psalm 139, David. He says Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So God knew David, even in the womb, knew what he would do with him, knew what he'd do with Jeremiah, knew what he'd do with Paul, knew what he would want to do with you. You have a special plan. And as it says here, there was a particular time when God chose to reveal his son to Paul. He didn't reveal him to him early in life. Paul was a persecutor of the church. But Paul says, when it pleased him to reveal his son to me. That's part of God's plan. Has God revealed his son to you? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Been baptized in his name? This is all God's plan. It's coming to pass. Ordered in all things and secure. He has brought you to faith in his son. He's working out his plan in your life. And he has a special mission for you, like he had for Paul. Let's see if I can prove that to you too. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says this: "For by grace have you been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, what? You know it? What's it say? Which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. That's beautiful news. Your life is not, you're not a leaf drifting down a stream. You are not a rugged frontiersman going, I'm going to make my own life. I'm going to carve out my existence in this world. No. It says God has carved out your existence. God has actually prepared a path for your feet to walk in. He is illuminating your path daily in the good works that he wants you to walk in. And then, not only has God chosen you before the foundation of the world, not only set you apart before you're born, not only in the course of time revealed his Son to you, not only prepared good works for you to walk in according to his Bible and true scriptures, but even the day of your death. You know, sometimes we get really worried about that. Oh, I wonder if I'll die. I wonder if my family member will die. I wonder. And we get all worried and angst and upset about that. But listen what David says. He says, thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. So even from cradle to grave, God's got a plan for you. As David says in 2 Samuel, I think, does not my house stand so with God? Thou hast given me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. And it's so wonderful to me to know that God has a plan for my life, that I'm not just a leaf waterlogged, drifting down the stream of the world, trying to eke out and carve out my own existence and my own plans in this life, that I got a pilot at the wheel. In fact, did you hear about that last week, last Tuesday? Fox News, about the passenger who landed the plane where the pilot died on takeoff. It's still ascending. And there was a girl, 18 years old, on the plane, found out the pilot was dead. She threw up. Another girl, 16 years old, was crying. A woman was trembling, but because there's no pilot. And that's the way your life can be. If you think you're out of control, no pilot. But there happened to be an experienced pilot on board. He took over the plane. The controllers talked him down, and he made a perfect landing like glass on the runway. No problem. Well, what I'm saying to you today is you got a pilot at the helm. That is Jesus and God the Father. He's already planned out the things which he wants you to walk in. And you can have real confidence and joy because of this. Jeremiah 29 says, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a future and a hope for your life, individually as well. Does that mean then that everything's fatalistic? That I'm going to have a pizza today instead of a hamburger because God ordered it? No. We're not fatalists in that sense, but God has a plan for my life. Does it also mean that God's plan will be worked out regardless? Does that mean that that I can't be out of it? Well, no. People can miss God's plan. As it says in Jeremiah 18, God had plans. It says here, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you, to the wicked house, rebellious house of Israel at the time. Return, everyone, from his evil way and amend your ways and your doings. In other words, I don't want to live out this plan that I'm planning against you, Israel. Repent so I can give you prosperity instead. But they say that's in vain. We'll follow our own plans and we'll act everyone according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. So you can miss it. And so what should we do? The rest of this sermon, I want to talk with you about how to know and to live in the plan of God. Okay? Number one thing you want to do is acknowledge that he has a plan for you. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And you got to be willing to say this every day of your life. Is it okay for you to make plans? Does God want you to make plans? What's it say in Psalm 20? Is it Psalm 20? So many cards in here, it's hard to turn the page. Psalm 20. I forgot to mark the exact verse. I have it written right here, my friends. He says, "May the Lord grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans." So it's okay to make plans. That's good. But we want to always be able to say, "But your plan, Lord, that's the one that I really want." And that's why it also says in Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will be established." And another proverb says, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So we want to be making our plans, seeking what we want to fulfill in our desires, but we want to always be saying, "But your plan, God, that's the better one. That's the higher one. That's the one I want to see accomplished." And if you will simply say, "I want your plan, God," I can guarantee you will get it. Now, with some people choosing their plans, let's talk about how God's plans are better. Would any of you think of saying, "I got a plan for super suffering in my life"? Yeah, that's what I want. I want to go through real trials. I want to go through terrible tribulations. Is that your plan for your life? Not a person in this room would dream of planning that for themselves. But that's part of God's plan, part of it for you. So when bad things happen, you can say, "Hey, look, God is working out his plan." Remember Joseph, the Old Testament? Jacob, his father, had a plan for him. "My son, he's going to be a shepherd. He's going to watch over 200 sheep over here. He's going to have a little plot of land, and we'll live happily ever after in the land of Canaan." That was Jacob's plan. What was God's plan? "Joseph, you're going to be betrayed by your brothers for silver. You're going to be sold into Egypt as a slave. You're going to be in prison. But in the end, I'm going to set you at the peak over all of Egypt." So it involves suffering. But, you know, if we lived out our own plans, we'd just be little shepherds over here. God has a better plan through suffering to give us the greater blessing in the end. We got to trust him when bad things happen in life. I'm thankful, by the way, that my plans don't always work out. If my plans worked out, I would be a marine biologist right now. And although I love water, I hate science. Okay? If my plans worked out, I would never have gone the course of events to eventually meet my wife in Maine and marry her. There'd be no Naomi if my plans to being an English professor had worked out. And thank goodness not. I can't stand Ivy League school atmosphere, although God bless all the people up there. I had plans to be a captain on a schooner for the rest of my life. Thank goodness God had other plans. I am so thankful for the fruitful field of harvest and getting to know all of you and love you. So we have plans. Go ahead and plan your life. And as it says in the Psalms, may God fulfill all your plans in accordance with his will. But we got to look to God's plans as trusting him, walking daily by faith that he's got a better plan. And no matter what happens to us, that is his good plan if we are acknowledging him. That's what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What? And all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So when you are living out your life, making your plans, here's what you do. Acknowledge him in everything and always, every day. This is my plan, Lord. Your plan is what I want. Many are the plans in the mind of a man. May your purpose be established, O Lord. And he'll direct your paths. So you trust in him, you acknowledge him. God wants you to walk daily, too. What if God were to come to you tonight in a vision, in a dream of the night, and show you everything he has planned for the rest of your life, which God doesn't do, generally. And why doesn't he do it? It would be so great, so grand, so beautiful, so awesome. You'd either get puffed up and say, "Yeah, look at me. I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty special. Look what God's got for me." Or you could go, "That's too big and bold for me, Lord. I'm overwhelmed. I'm in dread. I won't do it." God's plan, if you want to walk in it, I'm not going to say today, he's got everything and he's going to deliver it all to you today. But what I am saying is he'll deliver it all to you in time. You just got to walk daily by faith with him, being ready for any good work he's prepared for you to walk in. Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Can you do that? Can you walk with God today? Making your plans, sure, may He fulfill them, but hey, I'm going to walk with God today patiently and just be ready for whatever He has for me. You know, this week I was, Thursday, I was just going about my work. I had my plans. I was going to go do a communion visit. I was going to go home early, make some dinner. God had a different plan. A man came off the street, a homeless man who'd had a stroke a year ago, and your heart just goes out to him, believe me, when you talk with him. He can't really form his words because of the stroke. And he says, I'm living on the beach, and I can't do it anymore, and I don't know what to do. And, oh man, I'm just like gun. And I thought, oh, what a blessing! I want to help you. And so I called. I didn't know there were any shelters in the area. Called a number of places, found one. Drove him down there, and he has a place to stay for 86 days, where he also gets to work. And he was so pleased. Let me ask you, my friends, did I plan that out when I woke up that morning? No. Did God plan it out when I woke up that morning? Yes. And that's the way our life is with Him. You're just not going to be able to know everything, okay? But you're going to have God's plan, and you can trust you got a pilot at the wheel who can direct your steps every day. And God doesn't want you to have everything planned out. He just wants you to hold His hands. You're not a rugged outdoor frontiersman, I'll carve out my life in the frontier. No, you're a child of God saying, I'm going to take your hand, Father. You lead me daily, and I'm ready for any good work you have for me. Oh, here, oh, there. Thank you, Father. Thank you. That's the way it is. When God has a plan for your life, you live out your plan daily. You don't have to be Superman. You just have to be ready to love and walk in love as Christ loved us. And I guarantee you, if you'll do that and acknowledge Him in all your ways, God will make straight your paths. And you're going to get to the end of your life and look back and say, oh, how you have provided, how you have guided me. Oh, how the plane has so safely and beautifully landed. Why did I ever fret one instant or one moment? As Jesus says, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to a span of life? If you're not able to do a smaller thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Walk with me in love. And when you do, that plan will most certainly come to pass. And so, God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He has called you before you were born. He set you apart for a purpose as unique as your fingerprint. And God is going to work out this plan so that even in the end, this part of the plan will come to pass as well. You'll be raised from the dead with Christ, in whom you've believed and been baptized, and will, in the coming ages, Ephesians 2, be shown the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God, our good pilot, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.